Rosh Hashanah is right around the corner. I don't know how that happened exactly. I kept thinking I had more time, but it's coming. It's above a samach. And a lot of times I'm hearing from Bachrim and I'm hearing from myself, what is Rosh Hashanah about? For many people, Rosh Hashanah is this incredibly scary day, and they have plenty of Mara Mekoymas to support such an idea. It's the day of judgment, and everything's being decided. Mi yichya, mi yamos, and that's all true. But it's hard for us to know exactly how to function that way. A lot of times we get so worked up that we spend the whole Rosh Hashanah so nervous that we don't even know it's Rosh Hashanah. We're just getting all worked up. And nevertheless, the Gaon says that when a person hits the Tekiah Shofar, he should be besimcha atzuma, to be makabel the melucha of Hashem, the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'd like to try to understand what the Gaon is so excited about. What are we so happy about? Of course, there are many dimensions to the Yom, but I think that we have to figure out what the simcha of the day is, what the gishmak is to be with Borei Olam. That's also a question to us. A lot of us, we read the davening, we read Perushim, and it's foreign to us. Hashem is the king, long live the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're waiting for the Goyim to recognize you and for us to recognize you. V'yeda kol yitzur ki'atav alto, v'yavim kol pu'ul ki'atav alto. But then we're feeling like we're wearing a Purim costume because we don't function that way, we never really felt that way. And I'm sorry for bringing that onto the table here, but at the end of the day, it makes Rosh Hashanah very hard for me because I know I don't live that way. I'm not always talking about the Malucha of Hashem. And now here I am in a day where I'm coronating Hashem as a Melech. What am I doing exactly? So let's try to be Ma'ayin in the Sugi of Rosh Hashanah. And Bezus Hashem, I guarantee you that if we follow what's going on here, it will change our Rosh Hashanah. And hopefully it'll change our lives. Hopefully. First of all, why is Rosh Hashanah from the Aseres Yimei Tshuva? There are 10 days of Tshuva. That's what it says in my Gemara. That's what it says everywhere. In all the Sfarim, there are 10 days of Tshuva. There's only one problem with Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you don't say you're sorry for anything. The Arizal says you can't even say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. You can't even mention any Avera. So why in the world is Rosh Hashanah a day of Tshuva? It should be the day before Tshuva. Your Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we get busy with Tshuva. But it says in my Svarim Akdashim, it says in my Gemara, that there are 10 days of Tshuva. Starting with Rosh Hashanah, which you don't mention anything that you do wrong. You're not supposed to. And nevertheless, it's called the day of Tshuva. Why? And second question is, why does this day of coronating Hashem have to come in the beginning of this process? Right? A guy who's really down and out, and he's really, like me, I'm not ready for Rosh Hashanah, I could use 9 days of preparation of tshuva, and then I'll be Mamlech Hashem. Hashem, you're the king. Give me those 9 days first. Give me a Yom Kippur where you just wash away all my avers. Then I come in a nice Armani suit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm Mamlech in beauty, in style, the way Hashem would want it. Why is the order this way? Why are we starting with Hashem being the king? And then we go through this tshuva process. So let's explore. L'maisa, big mitzia, Baruch Hashem, it's not my own bikias. The Sfas Emes, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, can find you midrashim from all over the place. And the Sfas Emes quotes a medrash, I don't even know if I knew this medrash existed, called the Psikta Rabasi. And thanks to computers, I was able to find the medrash. And Rabbi Mandelbaum, who knows how to use a computer. Says the medrash, why are there Aseres Yimei Tshuva? Lama Asara, why are there 10? Psikta Rabasi Ois Mem. Kineged Asara Mamora Shevem Nibra Olam. Kineged the 10 sayings that Hashem said to create the world. Hashem created the world with 10 diburim, 10 utterances. And those Eser, Kineged those Eser, are the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Why? In this time, on this day, everyone's coming in judgment in front of Hashem. And Mischayev Kliya, they should be wiped out. They're all shmutzik, muluchlachim, ba'averis. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu mizakes olamo, Hashem exonerates them. He finds them innocent. Nimseis omer ki'ilu bo bayom nivra olam. It's like the day of creation. Says in the Medrash that the 10 days, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, are connected the 10 sayings that Hashem created the world with. And says this Vasem, it's a beautiful idea. Just like Hashem created the world originally, way back when, every year you create yourself. You start from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, and you go through a process of 10. You create yourself and recreate yourself in all the dimensions of your life. 10 covers all aspects of life. That's why the biggest number in singles is 9, and then 10 is really a repetition of 1, because 10 is really the biggest. That's why there are a lot of 10s in the Torah. There's a Aseres HaDibros, there are 10 Makas, 10 Nisyonis that Avram Avinu had, right? And 10 sayings that Hashem created the world with. And 10 days of tshuva in order to build yourself. And the Sfasema says you can do a much better job now than when Hashem created you. Why? Because b'makom shebali tshuva omdim, afilu tzadikin gmurim ein omdim. He says Aseres Yimei Tshuva is creating yourself in a matzav of Baal Tshuva, which is a much better version than you were before. Much better. So we find that these 10 days are supposed to create ourselves. Fine. So we're creating ourselves. How do we do that? So let's understand how Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of creating yourself. Rosh Hashanah has to be the first day because the first step of creating yourself as the new C.D. Stark or whoever you are, the new Baruch, David, whatever it is, the new Yitzi or Chava or Bela, they all have to begin with Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah the building block? Hashem is the king. The building, the cornerstone of who you are. We don't know that much about ourselves. We don't know much about our brains. I was speaking to someone who was very deep in neuroscience about the brain. And he was telling me how little we know about the brain. It's fascinating how little we know about the brain. And you know what the biggest thing that people will never find out is about the brain? And they never will find this out. I'll go on Time Magazine and tell them. They will not find this out. They know a lot of things. They know that if you want a hot dog, you go, ooh, hot dog. So David wants a hot dog. Then David starts salivating. They can monitor the brain. He wants a hot dog, now tell us. They can watch all this. But there's one thing that they will never know. They say they don't know it now. They think they'll know it in 100 years. They will never know it. Not in 3 or 4 million years. They don't know why you wanted a hot dog. Why didn't you want chocolate ice cream? Why didn't you want to kill somebody right now? They only can monitor that when you want to kill somebody, heart rate, his brain is working. Is it? They can figure all that out. But they have no idea what makes you want something. Only once you want it, they can figure out how the brain helps you get what you want. But how in the world did you get to wanting something? And every person we know wants different things. And this is a paradox to them. And the reason is very simple. Because there's something above the brain called a neshama. It's the place of ratzon, the place of who you really are. And it's deeper than you could even understand because it's beyond your brain. It's above your brain. It's something that doesn't come into the regular seichel of a human being. And if in the brain itself there's so many mysteries. Somebody once did a study, they cut somebody by accident in their brain, and all of a sudden, the woman, she was like 50, 60 years old, she starts screaming Italian opera. Perfect Italian. She never learned Italian in her life. Came out 7 years old, Rabosai. 7 years old, she was once at an opera. And it went in there. Imagine how little we know about ourselves. Rav Gifter Zatzal, when he was a Shivron Luchas, he was forgetting his learning. The doctors told him, he says, don't worry. All that you learned is in there. You just can't retrieve it. And he got chizuk from it. It's in there. The brain is complex. Now imagine the neshama, Rav Osai. We don't know anything about ourselves. Anything about ourselves. The Sefer Tanya, which was written by the Bala Tanya, was the writer of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's found many times in the Mishnah Brura. The Sefer Tanya in Perek Yud Ches writes the following thing. It's an experiment to figure out who you are. We find, says the Bala Tanya, that there are many Amoratzim and Peshe Yisrael who could care less about Hashem. They have piercings everywhere. In the time of the Baal Tani, they didn't. But they had different color hairs and this and that. And they're raving and they're moving and they're this. And then suddenly somebody gets him and says, "Yo, Jew, bow down to this thing or I'll blow your brains out." So I would say the guy would, "Yo, man, I'll bow down." And he says, "We find that so many times in the history of Klal Yisrael, people who no one would ever have guessed say, 'Kill me right now, right here, kill me for our Kaddish Baruch Hu.'" And the Baal HaTani says, "How could this be? It doesn't make any sense." And you're right, it doesn't make any sense. Because the pshat is that most people are not functioning as who they are. So if it comes to a cheeseburger, Rachmana Litzlan, they don't identify themselves as a cheeseburger, they do it. They forget. They're this, they're that. They lose sight of what's going on. But if somebody grabs you and says, "Are you a Yid? Is Hashem the Melech?" And they shake you up. You know what that does? It goes above your brain. It goes all the way to the neshama. The neshama is activated and says, "This is your life. This is who you are. You cannot afford to ruin this." It triggers an identity. It triggers an understanding of who you are. And that is what we call the pintel yid within a person who understands Hashem is the Melech. And once he activates that part of himself, he can do the most extraordinary acts that could be written in any art scroll book and wow everybody. But it's an issue of understanding that that's your identity. It's so hard to remember. The Rambam, it's hard to believe this is a Rambam. The Svarim HaKadoshim bring this Rambam. It's hard to believe this is written by the Rambam. It's not the regular style of what I've seen in the Rambam. But the Rambam says this. In Hilchas Gerushin, very Yadua Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf, we know that a person has to willingly divorce his wife, right? That's one of the halachas of get. It has to be l'ratzon. It can't be l'ones. And nevertheless, we find something peculiar. That Chazal will beat the living daylights out of someone until they say they're willing to do this get. So the obvious question is, that's not fair. The halacha is he has to be willing. He's not willing, right? How in the world is this a kosher get? And it's a kosher get midaraisa, Rabotai. This is not a joke. How do you call that not being forced? Says the Rambam. He says the following. Zeh she'eino roitzen legarish. Since this person who doesn't want to get divorced, may acher shehu roitzen leyos miYisrael. He wants to be a Yid. Then, if he wants to be a Yid, Roitzuhu lasos kol mitzvahs. He wants to do all the mitzvahs. Ulis rachek min averus, to stay away from the averus. V'yitzroi hu shetokvoi. He's just crazy. He was at a moment of insanity. So we beat the living daylights out of him until he realizes who he is. Says in Rambam, you know why this is a get? Because he just has to remember that he's Jewish. That he's part of Klal Yisrael. That Hashem is the Melech. And that's all they're doing. They're triggering this for him. Sometimes there are these rehabilitation centers where they do this for people. They put them in a room, padded room, this, that, dark, this, pour water on them, whatever. Just wake up! Who are you? I want this. It's true I got a lot of bruises on the way, but I'm crazy not to let her go. She has a whole life ahead of her. Why am I not letting her leave me? The marriage is not working. But there's a clarity of who I am. I'm a Yisrael. This is what the Baal HaTani is talking about. It's just we forget. We don't even know this is part of us, but it's there. It's there. And it's the most real part of us, is the part of us that understands who we are in this very intense and real and great way. This idea of malucha, of Hashem being a king, I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro. You know what happens when there's a kingdom? There's always wars. Wars and kingdoms go together. And he brings a beautiful raya for this. This is only he could do this. The Rambam, in Hilchas Shoftim, you might have heard of something called Hilchas Malachim. The laws of kings establishing a kingdom. However, you might not know the end of it. The Rambam calls his Hilchas Malachim, the laws of kings, of all the kings established in Klal Yisrael, Hilchus Malachim Umilchamas. The laws of kings and wars. What kind of name is that? It's called the laws of kings and kings have wars. No. Kings and wars go together. conquest, taking over, controlling the area. Where there's a king, there's a war. And we know that wars focus people. The best times that we've had in Eretz Yisrael here as a yeshiva have been during wars. I can't explain what's going on. When we say a shmooze during a war, everybody is in the zone. They're in a war. We all feel it. It's happened twice since I've gotten here. There's a war going on. But that's just being a bystander, Rabosai, but not a bystander, someone who's learning Torah to protect. But what if you're a warrior in Malchus Beis David? What if you're a warrior in a war with the real Malucha of Hashem? Look at the Rambam here. It's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam says something, which I don't know if we can put this out there because it might offend somebody. But the Rambam tells you how to go to war. There's an issur of getting stared or being afraid when you go to war. Listen to how far this goes. V'kohamaschil l'chashev u'laharher bil milchama. Whoever starts having doubts during war, when they're a soldier, he's over on an avera. He's over on a losase. So now, what is the issue over here? How are you over in this avera? Says the Rambam. He has to know that al yichud Hashem u'osim milchama. He's on a war for Hashem's kingdom. V'yosim nafsho bekapo, and he's willing to risk his life. V'lo yere v'lo yifchad. Now watch this. Lo yichashev, lo be'ishtoi v'lo be'banav. He can't think about his wife or his kids. I would just say just not think about them because he's got to be brave. But the Ram goes down. Elo yimacha zichra me'libo. He has to wipe the image of his wife and children out of his head. Whoa, that means no wallet-sized pictures, Rabosai, at war. No, at night, oh, look, it's my kid, he's so cute. None of that. V'yifna michol davar l'milchama. Whoa, this is focus. In the Rambam, if you think about your wife and kids during a war, a real war, where we're fighting for Hashem, not for a Ummah of Sheker, who doesn't keep the Torah and mitzvahs. But you're fighting for Hashem. You're fighting for his country, Be'emes, with a melucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't even think about your wife and kids. Total focus, Rabosai. Every soldier in Klal Yisrael was capable of doing this. Can you imagine? Every soldier in Klal Yisrael. That would mean you weren't allowed to call home either. Definitely not. How could you call home? That's a big... I don't think it's a chumrah. There's a focus over here. And if a person would understand that we're in a war, there's a war. What kind of war? I'll tell you. The focus that's needed for a war. There's in Shar Yichud HaMaisa of the Chovas HaLvavas, Perek Hei, he says, Amru al Chassid. They said about a Chassid. Shepaga anashim shebiyam in melchemes oivim b'shalu shalu achar melchemes chazaka. A bunch of warriors came back with pillage, all this shalal, from a very hard war. Victorious! Amar lehem shavtem mimolchama kitana. This yeshiva man, right? Ah! That's a baby war. Ah, what is that?
Imagine these soldiers, knights in shining armor. What do you mean it's a baby war? Speak on, young man!
Right? His atu lemolchama gedayla. You're going to have a much bigger war. Amru loy, umahi milchama gedayla. What's the bigger war? Amru lehem milchemes hayetzer v'chayalav. Fighting your yetzahara. What's going on over here? I mean, it's very interesting. But what kind of, why is the Chovas HaLvavos bringing this? Because the Chovas HaLvavos wants us to know, this is not just a cute story, this is reality. This is a war. And if a person is on a war, on a rampage, with Bayri Olam, there's total focus of mission. He knows that Hashem is the king. And when you know Hashem is the king, you can fight until the end. And the first thing you have to do is know that Hashem is the melech. Once you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, that is the way to have the clarity. That is who you are. It might seem foreign to you. It's because you're foreign from yourself. When you come to Rosh Hashanah and you say, Hashem, you're the king, you're trying to find yourself. Yeah, You're actually trying to find where is that real guy in me who's been confused all year and that this is what I would give up my life for. In my most confusing times, if someone would have shaken me up, I would have in the middle of the year said, I would start doing that and say, please, take me, I'm gone. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is, creating that clarity. Clarity of a mission. You know, in a good business, there's something called a mission statement. A mission statement. Baruch Hashem, the Ga'inus of our Rosh Yeshiva, we're the only yeshiva with a mission statement, I think. Unlocking the greatness. That's our mission statement. If you don't know about it, you could find it on our website. Unlocking the greatness. Now, I'll tell you what this does for me as an employee of the yeshiva. When you know your mission statement, then you can evaluate where you are. Well, I was hired by this yeshiva. This yeshiva is unlocking greatness. Am I unlocking greatness or am I lacking greatness? And in everything that you do, as simple as that sounds, you go, did this unlock the guy or did this lock the guy? Oh, yeah, I just locked somebody. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I unlocked somebody. It's a mission statement that lets you understand what it's all about. And even a bacher, why did I come to this yeshiva? Because they were supposed to unlock me. Maybe I should unlock myself. The mission statement brings clarity. You never veer from your mission statement. When I was younger, they had 10-10 wins. I don't know if they have that anymore. It was like something like, give us 10 minutes and we'll give you the world. It's a mission statement. They're never going to go out of that 10 minutes because that's what their mahus is. When you have a mission, you know exactly what to do. And there was another yeshiva that was created through a mission statement. The Alter of Slobodka went to Rav Yisrael Salanter, who had a koyach to see the face of any person and in a moment size up what he's about. Beyond comprehension. And the Alter Slobodka, who was a young man, came to Rav Yisrael Salanter and he said, what should I be doing? And he said, L'hach yois lev nidchayim, to take downtrodden souls and lift them. What? That's a yeshiva? Yeah, that was Slobodka. Slobodka, the entire yeshiva was about building up Bnei Torah. They dressed very nicely. They felt like a million bucks. He got a mission statement. And every moment in Volozhin, you can clarify, is this L'hach yois lev nidchayim or is this bringing down the Ben Torah? The mission statement creates a total clarity. I was thinking that according to this, we could explain something. Rav Hartman came here. The guys were sliding under their seats, if you remember that. And Rav Hartman said, what does it mean that in Shema, it's a Mishnah in the second parak of Brachos, what does it mean in Shema that we start with Shema Yisrael, and then we do V'hayim Shema? It says, then we do Vayomer. So the Mishnah says, Kedei shi'kabel olav ol malchus shamayim. You start with Shema to be makabel ol malchus shamayim, to accept the kingdom. Tchila, first. V'akher kach yi'kabel olav ol mitzvos. And then you do Vayim Shema, which is about mitzvos. And the question is obvious. If you're doing the mitzvos, then you are makabel the Hashem as a king. What's the difference? And I think according to what we're saying, it's very different, Rabbi Isai. There's so many people who do mitzvahs, but they're random. They don't have a mission statement. Yeah, they're putting on tzitzis. Yeah, they're putting on tefillin. Yeah, they're going to chakras, but they're random. You see, they're not on a mission. They have no idea what they're about. The first thing a person has to do is say, Hashem, you are the melech. And in my life, I will look at every single thing. And was I mamlech you? Or chas v'shalom, did I take off your crown with what I just did? It's as simple as that, a pashut mission statement. And if you start mitzvahs without that, it will show up as random. Perhaps this is even merumas in Rosh Hashanah. It says that we're all going to go singularly in front of Hashem to be judged. And there are three pshatim in the Gemara what that means, singularly. One of them is like chayale debe David, soldiers of David HaMelech. Very nice. But according to us, that's the whole thing. That's what a soldier of Malchus Beis David is, somebody who's being judged on melucha, on knowing how to have a milchama. Not just stam because they walk individually, because they're individuals who are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and live by that. And we'll see if they're chayale Beis David. We'll see what they're about. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to start with Hashem being the Melech. That's the beginning of tshuva, because that's the beginning to understand what it's all about. If it's foreign to us, then we spend a whole day trying to integrate it, integrate this into our personality. It must be us. It is us. And the more you try to connect with it, it will click. It has to click, because it's you. Something that's you will click. And when a person starts with Hashem being the Melech, then very basic decisions that they do, we do unbelievable tricks with ourselves. You know what we do? During Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we say, we're going to be the biggest tzaddik in the world, right? But if I whisper to someone, in the Ila, he says, Hashem, I'll be good. Whisper, what are you doing after Yom Kippur? You were supposed to meet your friends in town. Shut up! Everybody will be willing to get rid of everything except what they're doing for Sukkot. Oh no, because we planned that. I didn't mean that when I was in the Ila. Wait, you meant your whole life, but not? There's no Malucha of Hashem. That's what happens when someone does isolated actions over and over and misses the point. That's what their life looks like. As stupid as that. Oh, Hashem, I'm with you. Except when I need to be with you. Except when it's something that I feel a little bit of pressure. And a person has to ask himself what the mission statement is. To be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're starting to see a very scary thing. We're seeing that certain mitzvahs and minhagim that were part of the mission statement are disappearing. I can look in the base medrash. There's something like this. You know what this is called? It's not called a skull cap. It's not called a beanie. It's called a yarmulka. I know I'm saying that funny. A yara malka, a fear of the melech. Guess what this thing is? This thing is part of the mission statement. And you know what happens when people get angry in the middle of Seder? I can't do it for you. This is like the new way. Hashem gets the, every time you're upset, your yarmulke comes off. You take off the malucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what a tremendous chil Hashem that is? It's beyond. I would say, and I'm not a poisek, I would say it's yehareg val yavor to do such a thing. Whoa, I'm going to lose my job for this one. They're going to sue me. Right? The Orthodox rabbinate of who knows where is going to say that I'm an extremist. It's pasha. How can a person express themselves by taking off their yarmulke? It's not an expression. This stays on even when you're sleeping. You can use one of those nanoks if it's going to fall off. Same ones you use for ball. But we're not wearing our yarmulkes. How can a person go to the shower without a yarmulke? If you don't have a mission statement, who really cares? But the people who are on the team can't stand to not have something that shows tzitzis, these beautiful things, these tzitzis. The Sefer Achinuch says, you know what these are? These are the lavush of an adon, of an eved to an adon. They're the lavush of an eved to a melech. And I see mitzuyonim in our base medrash who are willing to go to courts not wearing tzitzis. You know how much you lose? Forgetting the amount of mitzvahs, first of all, you just lose the begadim of the melech. It's a statement about the mission, Rabotai. And that's why there's so much schar in these things, is because it's not just a mitzvah. It's showing what team you're on. It's a mission statement issue. There was somebody who flatlined not too long ago. Happened a few times recently. In the past 50 years, people who flatlined went to the Olam HaEmes and came back to tell us what happened over there. There was one fine Sephardi man who got into a car accident and he went to the Olam HaEmes. And he was there for a while for his judgment. He was smack in the middle. They decided to bring him back. I'm not going to get into the story. But there are a few of these recorded vices. It happens. Sometimes people get sent back, Baruch Hashem. But the interesting thing is they get to tell you what happened over there. And obviously he skipped all the embarrassing details, but he said, one thing I want you to know is that it wasn't going well up there. But then they got to tzitzis. And you know like those things about like the deficit of in New York City, it shows you the deficit of the government, like the numbers are blah, 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 right? Somebody who wears tzitzis, in Shamayim, that's what happens when you get up there and they start cheshbonning your tzitzis. Every second you wear the tzitzis. It's a mission statement issue. It's not just because they're cute and white and tassels and they look pretty. It's because they show you're on the team. Somebody who wears tzitzis always wants to be reminded of Taryag. He's on the team. And the beginning of building yourself with 10 days and 10 maimarim is realizing Hashem is your king. that you do identify with it. You will search. You will seek until you find where you identify with it and how much you identify with it. And we should all be zeicha, Bezrat Hashem, to be Mamlech Hashem b'simcha. Because somebody who's looking at Rosh Hashanah this way is so proud to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the shofar blows, he says, I identify with this. I'm patriotic with Borei Olam. It's part of a psych-up schmooze for all the B'nai Aliyah. And then Mamela, everyone will be Nitzel. We should all have a good Gemen Shior, Ksiva Ksiva Tova, Kol Mishal Sibachim Matayv. So that's your mission statement. You start off all my